MurphyAuction.com. That's MurphyAuction.com.
We bring you the world. News Radio 560, KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Showtime on News Radio 560 KPQ, and the show is called The Agenda, so welcome to the show. Sit down, get comfortable, get out your sharp number two pencil, and get ready to take notes because it's time for tax tips. And if you want to know the phone number, if you want to be the first one in, just call right now. Be the first call, 509-663-5656. That's 509-663-56. And while you're dialing or driving, whatever the case may be, consider this. The word today under consideration is tax, T-A-X. That's from the Latin word toxo. Anybody can conjugate that? Anyone? Toxo, toxare, toxavi, toxatum. I feel, I touch sharply, I rate, I appraise, I value, I estimate, I judge, I compute, and I reckon. All definitions of the word toxo. However, they couldn't have come up with another word. That was the only word they could have used for taxes. And that's the word that everyone uses around the world, as a matter of fact. So thanks for nothing, Romans. You made it a good name, but other than that, no help whatsoever. It's probably time to remind you that you have already paid Uncle Sam with every paycheck. But even so, I'm so sorry, but that's not enough. Your uncle has champagne tastes. Well, I don't know about the test. Maybe he has champagne tests, too, to see if it's really champagne made in France. In champagne. And he has a wicked way of leaving you behind to pick up the check. That's your uncle. The famous Army toilet seat, the laser bomb, the intercontinental ballistic tool of destruction, the 1.5-ton black Cadillac limo tank, the nerve poison, the earthquake sensors, the case of water that we said we were sending to Puerto Rico, but it went to Poughkeepsie instead and rotted on the tracks. That's coming out of your paycheck. Cages for babies at the border, a machine that records every phone call ever made in America and stores it in a cave in Utah, just a little off the top at the Capitol Barbershop with close shaves. You pay for it. Embassy cocktail parties in Rwanda, Uruguay, and Warsaw, that's coming off the top of your paycheck. All these projects have to be paid by somebody, and the only person we could come up with was you. You're going to pay for it, leaving me to realize that tiny old Latin word taxo just does not quite cover the full meaning of such a laundry list. Meaning, it's time for an expert on the matter. Tim Dilley is a man, and he brought an expert with him, Kyle Meisner. We will seek the answers from the infamous opinions of Mr. Tim Dilley, who's with us today for not the first time and not the last. Tim, welcome back to the KPQ studios. How are you?
Hi, Michael. Good. How are you doing?
Good. And Mr. Meisner, Kyle Meisner, welcome to the show and speak up. And how are you?
Doing great. Thanks.
Okay. So we have two experts, but only one phone number. So call me right now. 509-663-5656. 509-663-5656. Now you can pretend as you're driving down Miller with the window down on this cold day that you don't have any questions, but that just means you haven't seen the 1040. What did you say the first time you looked at the new 1040? You
said, wow, it's different.
I got the wrong one.
Yeah.
This has got to be 1045 or something.
Where are all the numbers? Oh, they're on page two. I mean.
So when you look at that, you put your address, you put your wife's name, you put your social security number, and then it's all a mystery?
Yeah, they kind of, cut the existing 1040, put the upper third on the first page, and the second page they put all the numbers, and many of these numbers are now on summarized lines that come from other schedules. Of course, there's six new schedules in condensing our former 1040 down to a not quite postcard size.
What about people who used to get reimbursement for expenses for their business or people that have one job but also have another little business on the side? What schedules do they use?
If you have a business on the side, you probably have a Schedule C. The Schedule C actually is unchanged from last year and how it looks.
That's almost progress.
And it still flows through to a new schedule that then summarizes to page two of your 1040. So that probably doesn't feel real different. The other example you brought up was somebody that is maybe getting reimbursed for employee business expenses. So expenses you incur that your employer doesn't directly reimburse you for can come under what we call a non-accountable plan. And if you have previously run that through a Form 2106, which then flowed through
that sounds familiar,
Schedule A of your 1040 as part of your itemized deductions, the bad news for 2018 is that that section of Schedule A is no longer there.
So 2106 means nothing.
So the 2106 isn't going to go anywhere on your return, which means that you're out those costs without any ability to recover that on your tax return, which is why any of those clients that we had that had that kind of activity, but we tried to last year make them aware, hey, this arrangement with your employer needs to change. You need to get an accountable plan where they're not just giving you checks without any sort of documentation, but rather you're turning in your receipts and your mileage documented.
Especially mileage.
And that's getting reimbursed under that accountable plan. So accountable plan expenses don't run through your personal tax return. You've been made whole dollar for those expenses that you've incurred from your employer, and there's no tax effect.
Is that affecting your clients in a dramatic way, or how would you describe it? No, not at all.
Not really. I mean, like I said, hopefully last year we were counseling those folks, hey, you got to make that change for this next year because it's not going to work this way, and you could be out, you know, X number of dollars.
Let's take a call. See who's on the line to talk with Tim Dilley and also with Kyle Meisner from Cordell Nehru. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, hi. It's Robert.
Hi, Robert. You have the floor.
What's the difference between total income and gross income?
Well, gross income is income after any expenses, and total income, I would presume, it sort of, I guess, depends upon the context. Total income would be your total taxable income, so the income after you've taken all your deductions that you can take to arrive to your taxable income. You said total income, not taxable income, but when I hear that in a tax concept, that's what I think of as the income that is going to be then subject to taxation, as opposed to the gross income, which is like your Schedule C, maybe you had $50,000 of total sales. That is what we would refer to as your gross income. And from that $50,000, you then are deducting expenses and whatever to get to your net taxable income on that activity. So,
does it make sense, Robert?
Partly.
Well, go ahead, ask another question.
Well, specifically, they say what was the total amount of your wages, interest, dividends, and other taxable income?
Yeah, so those are probably just off of those particular lines of the 1040. If you're filling out some form where you're having to report your income. In that case, I wouldn't use my Schedule C example of gross income. I would report the figures that show up on your 1040. So that would be your W-2 wages, your dividends, interest, the net of your business activity or rental activity is likely the number that you're trying to get to if you're filling out some form where you're supposed to be reporting, here's how much my income is.
So do the 1040 and then just add up the totals.
Yeah, most likely that's what they're trying to arrive to. I'm guessing you're filling out some sort of form that discloses your taxable income.
Well, I have just two sources of income, and one is the SS check.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And the other is some interest and dividends.
Okay. Yep, that should be pretty straightforward.
Any other questions, Robert?
Well, I guess that's the best we can do for now.
And my question for you is, when you look... Hello? Well, I should have said it sooner. My question for him was he confused or set back or slowed down in his work by the new 1040? Was it straightforward for him? And it seems like it was.
Those lines are still there for those particular items. It might be on the Social Security income might be on a different schedule. I can't remember off the top of my head if that's on page 2 of the 1040 like it used to be on page 1. But in his case, what they could be referring to is, you know, Social Security income is taxable income, but how much of it is taxable depends upon other income sources.
Like what?
So if your other income sources are modest, Social Security income can actually be free of income tax. So you may have received $20,000 of Social Security income, and you will only be taxed on up to a maximum of 85% of that total $20,000, but you could even be taxed on less. And that is just a mathematical computation based upon your total, your marital status and your other total other income, plus I think you add 50% of the Social Security benefit to come up to a number that you then, you know, refer to a chart.
But if you have a regular salary and Social Security income, then the Social Security income is taxable.
Most likely. So if you're married filing jointly and you're getting Social Security income, but also other income sources that are greater than, I think it's at least like $36,000 or something like that. I don't remember the number for this year, but once you've reached that level, then you're most likely getting taxed on a full 85% of your Social Security benefit. But if your income happens to be less than that, then you could see where less of your Social Security is actually being taxed. You could be only half. You could be none at all. It's just a matter of the mathematics of the other income sources and the Social Security amount itself.
That's the voice of Tim Daly and his associate Kyle Meisner here. They're from Cordial Nair. They're our tax tips experts. Now, I know you haven't done your taxes yet. You've been saying, just like I've been saying, we're going to do that soon. We're going to do that next week. We're going to get Tim on the line and have the best type of advice that's available. But you haven't done it yet, so you might as well call me now and get those questions out of the way. And if you don't think you have them, you just haven't started yet. That's all. 509-663-5656. Call me now. Well, don't call me, because really, I answer the phone, but you're not asking the questions of me. You're asking the questions of an expert who knows all the answers. And this year, that's going to be someone that you're really going to need on your side, because the game has changed. 509-663-5656. 663-5656. March 1st, which is not that far away. It's a special day. If you happen to be, well, I'll take this call and then I'll keep my question right where it was and move it back after this. Hi, KPQ, you're on the air. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Roger.
Hi, Roger. Yes, you're on the air. You have the floor, Roger.
Okay. I have a question about my taxes. I've been getting my taxes itemized. It cost me like $385 to have it done. And my income is about, on Social Security, it's 11 and some change. And then I have the, what is it, minimum distribution thing from some investment money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about a little over 7. So it comes to about, what, 18, almost 19,000.
You think you're paying $360 too much for that advice?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's deductible too, isn't it, Tim?
Not anymore, Michael.
No.
That used to be a miscellaneous itemized deduction, your tax preparation fee.
At least you could say it depends.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't depend.
And not anymore.
That's gone. So are you married, Robert? Or Roger?
My wife passed away a little over four years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I'm alone.
So your standard deduction now for 2018 is $12,000 as a single filer. So the press of the new tax bill tried to, you know, say it was making things easier, you know, postcard filing and all that. And in these particular cases, I would say it actually did accomplish that goal of making taxes a little bit easier.
In Roger's case
where you may have been itemizing previously, but now with that standard deduction being much higher than it was, almost double of what it was the year before, you may not be itemizing. It's just going to be based upon, you know, Roger, how much real estate taxes and mortgage interest and charitable contributions do you have? And if those amounts are less than $12,000, then you're not itemizing anymore, which makes your return pretty easy there. So,
especially with the standard deduction, which is how much this year? 36?
Standard deduction for a single individual is $12,000. Married filing jointly, it's $24,000. So,
yeah,
much higher than it was previously.
But as a single person making, say, $18,000 a year total, now can I deduct off that, you know, like my property taxes and insurance?
Well, your property taxes are where you've been getting that benefit of itemizing. So property taxes are one of those taxes that we can add to the Schedule A for your itemized deductions. But here again, if you kind of think about how much are those, how much mortgage interest am I paying?
I don't have any mortgage.
Okay. So I would tell you, your
number's too small.
It's probably going to be really tough for you to itemize, which may sound like bad news, but it's not. It's just, the standard is going to be much higher. Your return most likely got very simple there, Roger.
I see. Okay.
Thank you, Roger, for the call. Any other questions before I let you go?
Not really. Just okay. Good, thank you.
Thanks a million, Roger. Thanks for the call.
You know, in talking to clients last year, and I have some people that were in Roger's case as well, where, I mean, really their complication of their return was the itemized deductions and just sort of, you know, am I getting this right? And so, oh, we just want you to prepare it to make sure it's right. But then recognizing that, you know, if this is the complication of your return, and knowing that their itemized deductions are never going to cross that $24,000 threshold, you know, I had several conversations with people saying, well, gee, you know, should I even come to you next year? It's like, well, that's up to you. But here's how it's going to work next year, which makes it considerably simpler.
It's who's on the line for us today. Hello, KPQ, you're on the air. Who's this?
It's Charles.
Hey, Charles. Thank you for calling. You have the
floor. Yeah, my question, now, following up on the last phone call of the deductions, and forget the itemization, and you're 12 for a 1 and 24 for 2, did we lose the exemptions, or what happened there?
Oh, you caught on to that, did you? Yep, personal exemptions are gone. So, you know, whether that worked out to your benefit or not, it just sort of depends upon your own facts and circumstances. If you were previously not an itemized filer, and so you lost, what did you have before? You had $12,700 of standard deduction as a married individual, and then you had $8,100 of personal exemptions because you and your wife each had $4,050 last year. So that's a total of $20,000 and change, $20,800. But now I've replaced that with $24,000 of a standard deduction. Well, then you're money ahead. But if you were an itemized filer with maybe $16,000 total greater of itemized deductions, but you've lost your $8,000 in personal exemptions, you know, 16 plus 8 is greater than the 24, so you may have lost out on that trade. So it sort of depends, but you are correct. Those personal exemptions are gone. The line on the return is not even there. Oddly enough, you still, on page one of the return, come up with your dependency exemptions and whatnot, but that more than before is about getting the child tax credit than personally.
Does that mean that, say, I'm retired, but mm-hmm. a man, woman, and four children, there's no benefit from having 2, 4, 6, 8 children anymore?
Well, there is a benefit, but it's a different benefit. You lost the personal exemption, but the child tax credit is got a nice bump. It used to be $1,000 per qualified child, which means under age 17, and now it's $2,000 per qualifying child. So doubled the credit, and just between you and me, I'll take a credit versus a deduction any
Absolutely.
Day of the week. That's a dollar for dollar offset to taxation. And if you have more credit than you have tax, then you actually a piece of that is actually even refundable. Is it, Kyle? Do you remember? Is it like $1,200 or something like that? Of the credit is refundable.
That sounds right. I think it's $1,200.
Yeah. So even if you wipe out of your tax, you actually could create a refund out of a situation where you haven't even paid any tax because of the enhancement of that credit. And that credit used to phase out at a fairly low taxable income, maybe $120,000 last year, and now it's quite large. I want to say it's like $400,000 of taxable income before that credit starts to phase out. So
just to help me on my itemizing, if I don't come up to 24, then just do the standard.
Yep. Because that's really what you're doing when you're doing that comparison is which one is a bigger number.
Yep.
Because you're going to want to deduct whatever is a bigger number. And if your itemized deductions are not the bigger number, use the 24.
Okay. Thank you.
And you saved yourself a bunch of work on forms.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye. You betcha.
Thank you for the call, Charles. The number that Charles dialed and that you should dial right now is 509-663-5656. That's 509-663-5656. I learned last week that depreciation,
yep,
which is the opposite of appreciation,
yeah,
has increased and is something you can take in a big lump, especially if you bought a computer or something to do with the business.
By golly, the depreciation rules right now are about as generous as we've ever seen. Between Section 179, which we've had previously, and they have allowed us to take up to $1 million of cost recovery on purchases. That doesn't mean you can buy a $2,000 computer and take $1 million deduction, but you can buy $1 million worth of computers and essentially write them off with Section 179. But in addition to that, there's another depreciation code section called 168K, but we call it bonus depreciation because that's catchier than 168K. And bonus depreciation is effectively a similar concept where right now we have 100% bonus on qualifying assets, which means we can essentially expense those. So we still capitalize them, but they're effectively becoming an expense immediately in the first year. So businesses that, you know, buy expensive heavy things have a great ability to write those off quickly right now.
That's the voice, or what's left of it, of Tim Dilley. I had that this morning, too. I couldn't speak for a while there, Tim. And Kyle Meisner is here, also there from Cordial Nair. We'll be back to take your calls. While we play these commercials, dial this number, 509-663-5656. I'll pick it up as soon as this light blinks. We'll be back right after these words on News Radio 560, KPQ. KPQ, he said, with...
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KP.
509-972-6363. 509-972-6363. That's 509-972-6363.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
This is The Agenda at 12:39 with 24 degrees outside. I welcome you to our program today. We're talking about taxes, and if you heard the first half of the show, you really know, already figured out that this is going to be a year of change, not just the rules, but how you react to them, where your deductions go, who you ask for help. I know one of our callers called in and said, well, I paid $360 last year to have my taxes done, but it seems pretty easy this year. Maybe I don't need to pay $360. Now, I'm not complaining about whether he was charged a proper an amount or overcharged or undercharged, but I like to have professional help when things change. I like to have someone who says, I know what I'm doing and really means it. And I know Tim's laughing because, of course, he knows what he's doing. But to find for that price, for that help, for that certainty that you're doing the right thing, I think getting help is a smart thing to do.
Sure. I have a lot of clients that are certainly capable of doing their own taxes on TurboTax and whatnot.
After they watch you once, right?
But they want the peace of mind of, you know, having somebody that not only does it, but is going to be there if they do get that notice or things like that. So, you know, and we have lots of those clients. And so, like I said earlier in the show, some of those folks, I was, when showing them, here's how it's going to be next year,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got, especially if you're retired and you've got, you know, maybe a few income sources and all these itemized deductions that they used to worry about are now kind of
gone.
Well, they're not gone, but they're just not enough to worry about. Like, if they want to keep coming to see me, I'm happy to give them a hand and, you know, talk about what the changes are and what to expect. But their return isn't any more complicated than it used to be. It's less.
I did something like that for years. I saved all the medical receipts. Well, it never amounted to enough money just for medication to amount to a deduction of any sort.
Yeah.
And one of your colleagues, perhaps it was you, said, look, if you don't have a medical deduction, that's good news.
That's exactly what I say. So
because if you just got out of the hospital, that, you know how many tens of thousands of dollars that little trip cost you.
Medical expenses are still there. You have to exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income before you start to add a dollar of itemized deduction to your itemized deductions. So when I tell people, you know, when they ask a question about medical expenses, I usually preface that with, I hope you don't have any deductible expenses because that means something bad happened and you had a lot out of pocket because 7.5% of your AGI, which means, so if your AGI is $100,000, that means you have to have $7,500 of unreimbursed medical expenses.
Before you, that's the threshold.
That's the threshold to get over before you start to add a dollar to your itemized deduction. So, in other words, you know, you got to be up there in the $10,000, $20,000 of medical expenses before it's going to really be an impact, which, like I said, you typically don't want to have those situations for folks. Do I have clients that have that? Absolutely. Yep.
Did you have any idea that the tax laws, the tax rules were going to change so much when they were changing? Did you know what the changes actually amounted to till you got the paperwork? Said, I know they've changed a lot of things, and I know they've changed the this and the that, but did you know what it was until recently when the rules came out?
What do you think,
Kyle? They were started late.
Well, I mean, you hear discussions and rumors, but I didn't. I think the 199A deduction was a surprise to me.
And what's that one?
That's the pass-through deduction. So, you know, corporations got a 21% flat tax. And, of course, in America, when somebody gets something, the rest of us all stand up and say,
well, where's mine?
Where's mine? And that's the where's mine is the rest of businesses that aren't taxed as C-corporations got this 20% pass-through deduction with a list of rules as long as my arm, but a new benefit for a lot of folks that are really going to be impactful. And that particular deduction, I would tell you it wasn't on my radar. I don't know about you, Kyle. What do you think?
No, I didn't see that one coming. I think to me the biggest surprise was actually the change in the forms. We heard about the change to the rules starting when the legislation was going through, and so we've been sort of keeping up on them for the last year or so, but they didn't actually show us the forms until really recently, so that was pretty surprising to me. How about you, Tim?
Yeah, when we were, you know, one of my colleagues in the office, I mean, this was in January, and she was like, have you seen the new form? Yes. Well, yeah, I did, actually, but, you know, but she was, like, blown away by it looks just so different.
Is business for Cordell Nair around tax season, which is always a busy time for you because you do companies, corporations, as well as individuals.
Yeah.
Is this phone ringing saying, what's going on? I got something from the government. It looks official. I guess the IRS has changed everything. Help me.
You know, I don't get those kind of calls. I haven't received any, like.
So you have stable clients. I'm unstable. So that's how I react to everything.
But like you said, we're actually pretty focused on entities right now.
Yeah.
Partnerships, S corporations, corporations, those folks that aren't waiting for 1099s and brokerage statements and things like that. The businesses that, you know, reconcile their cash, do their final year end adjustments and then hand the books over to us. That can happen pretty quick after year end. And so that's what we really have as flow in our office right now.
That's Tim Dilley. Tim and Kyle Meisner are here from Cordell Nair. They're answering all your tax questions. We've had a number of good ones so far. It's your turn now. Here's the number to call. I'm serious now. Here's the number to call. I'll give it to you. 509-663-5656. 509-663-5656. We'll be back right after this. And if you're a farmer or a fisherman, you probably know March 1st is coming. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.
Mention this ad and receive the top-down, bottom-up upgrade for free, a free cordless lifting upgrade on select products, and free installation. We are Mini Blinds and More, your local blind store.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
This is News Radio 560 KPQ's 1251. I'm Michael Knight. My special guests, Tim Dilley and Kyle Meisner, both from Cordell Nair. We're giving you tax tips, but first we have to hear your questions, and that's why you're on the air. Hi, you're on KPQ live on the air. Who's this?
This is Mary.
Mary, thank you for calling. You have the floor.
I have a question that I would like clarified. It's my understanding that there's a new law or regulation that a person can directly donate up to $1,000 a year from their IRA and avoid paying tax on that. Is that more of a problem than it is a help?
No, it's actually a great benefit. But let's get a couple things corrected there. It's the limit, I think, is $100,000.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If you, but you have to be aged 70.5 or greater. Because what you are doing is, because when you hit that magic age, Uncle Sam says, thou shalt take some money out of thy IRA account.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm, because they want to tax it. Well, what, there's this other opportunity that says, well, if you're charitably inclined, mm-hmm. you can do what's called a QCD, Qualified Charitable Distribution, where you make a distribution out of your IRA directly to a charitable organization. When you do that, you need to tell your tax preparer because the form doesn't tell them that anywhere. So you have to communicate with your financial advisor because they need to send it directly to the charitable organization.
Uh-huh. And then you that would be easy.
And then you need to tell your CPA that you did this as a QCD.
Sure.
And the two thing this accomplishes is it satisfies your RMD. So a QCD can be counted as part of your required minimum distribution. And the second thing it does is you don't report that amount on your tax return mm-hmm. as income, mm-hmm. nor do you report it as itemized deductions.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The other question, now with a change in the amount of $12,000 from what it was,
mm-hmm.
And if you have your taxes prepared by a professional, is it, you know, if you don't have enough medical expenses that you know aren't going to meet that, would it be just as wise not to include those in your papers that you take to them because it's just going to be more for them to have to go through? Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess I would say probably in your situation, yes. In some other situations where those medical expenses might impact something else, you know, you may still gather those. But, you know, if you're retired, we don't have any business or...
The medical expenses would not include, like, what you pay for your insurance, would it, for health insurance?
It does, yeah. So if you're on Medicare, it not only...
A supplement or a secondary.
Yep, both of those amounts. So the amount that the Social Security Administration deducts from your Social Security benefits is medical insurance that you're paying for, and then the medical insurance supplement that you pay for
so
as well.
So that would actually amount to quite a bit then. So I'm glad I asked that question.
Yeah, it could be. Yep, uh-huh. yep. If, uh-huh. And if your income is low enough, it could exceed 7.5% of your AGI, and it could add your itemized deductions.
Mm-hmm. And do you deduct the full amount of your insurance costs and your supplementary insurance costs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Those are out of pockets. So, along with your other copays and doctor visits that you have out of pocket expenses.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
medication?
Mm-hmm. As long as it's out of pocket. So, not the amount of the medicine that was covered by insurance,
what
but
you
the
pay.
Amount that you took out of your wallet.
Yeah.
And didn't
well, thank
remember.
You very much.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for the call, Mary. I appreciate that. Mary's dialed 509-663-5656. You'll have to hurry because we're just about finished, but I keep mentioning May 1st, March 1st, and I never have gotten to it. The farmers and the fishermen probably think I'm pulling their leg, but it's an important day. Why?
That is the farmer deadline. So farmers, qualified farmers, are a little bit special because they have the ability to not have to pay in their tax throughout the year. That's a recognition by the IRS that farming is a bit of a cyclical, seasonal venture. And so you may be quite cash poor July, August, September. And until that crop is harvested, packed, shipped, sold, and collected, you may not be getting a lot of money in. But then when it does come in, it all comes in at once. So sort of matching that, the IRS says, well, if you are a qualified farmer, you can file and pay by March 1st. And as long as you do that, you file and pay, no extensions, file and pay by March 1st, you don't have to make 4 quarterly estimated tax payments throughout the year like other non-farmer businesses do.
It's Tim Dilley. He knows his onions, as they say in this business. He knows the tax laws and all the new ones, too. And Kyle Meisner, nice to meet you, Kyle. Thanks for coming by the first time. You're always welcome. You guys, we're out of show, so thanks for being here. And we'll do it next Thursday, Tax Tips, on News Radio 560 KPQ show called The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560.